Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Rhoda Mukum, Secretary of this committee. Today, our chairperson is sending an apology. She believes that she had to attend other in the province. In the absence of her chairperson, we need to be able to share the committee. Can I have nominations? Mr. Kata?
I nominate Mr. Shidu.
Thank you. How about you, Mr. Shidu?
Good morning, everybody. No, there is any form of that procedure despite our argument. You know, with my trade union background, it happens that when you throw something after some years, somebody challenges. So we have to follow procedure. Thanks for your confidence. Yes, I must say we welcome everyone. Today also we I would like to draw a wrong assumption because we deal with issues of faith. That today in our midst we have the chair of chairs of Parliament. We are welcome. I must say, we have a standing agenda item that we still continue with, but I would like to also plead to the meeting that we give the chair of chairs an opportunity just to explain why he's here. Because he never comes unless there is a bottleneck somewhere. So if you may allow him, right? I would believe there's no objection. So thank you, and welcome our visitors. Thank you. That is over to you. Maybe I should have introduced him. Thank you. Also, taking more time, we are aware of Friday, but also we don't have to compromise money. But I want to say also, in the light of what has been shared in the outside, which I want to adopt, there is concern, it's true, that we don't have to, we seem to be taking more time on the issues. And I'm just saying that for this one now. That now responding to their formally is a very progressive way of analyzing. We have to also advise on the lagging on the progress that not, but the intention is, and I'm saying this now to the department also, that whenever we invite people, we always expect, including the local mission, to assist our guests. We can facilitate the project. One, taking note that I also want to buy from the wealth of the House Chair that much as we deal with legislative proposals, they also procedures allow for the relevant committee to deal with legislation, which I believe we are not considering that. I must say also, just to clarify gray areas, these proposals were directly have to do with specific churches which the sponsor has identified. But the reason why other denominations have been invited, and I think this has got to be clarified, primarily we were supposed to, we believe, to deal only with those who are directly affected. But because of an environment that we believe, in terms of our constitution, does not only affect the Methodist or MCA or whatever, but all South Africans. And it is for that reason we have invited. So I want to say we are like on the last leg today to engage with churches. Because it is time also that we have to make sure that members now on their own, as it was indicated last week, begin now to apply their minds in terms of what the community is about. So I'm saying this to us also, that those who are given an opportunity who can even communicate directly with the chairperson, even outside of this meeting, as we have mandated here, is that to allow input as in any situation where there are parties here, which is a process that I think South Africans are in. So I'm just saying, we know that some people have considerations, but I'm saying we should not lose sight in terms of those who have been invited to appear. If they haven't, they have to forward whatever. We should practice that if when we are not here, we can deal with the situation, because at the end of the day, the bus stops with the colleagues. It is us who will take decisions. An opportunity was given to allow people to convince us in terms of to agree or to disagree or to amend. And I believe that explains where we are. So we will just have to check in terms of those prioritization. We have, can we just check with the air so that we then just try and prioritize. If we have the local machine here, which we believe, then the department, you representing the department.
Mr. Rutland asked that we apologize for him. He's attending today a meeting, of the Justice for Police Committee.
Okay. Any other person from the department that just want to check from government time? Okay, we don't have. Can we check then on the other visitors?
Sure, I'm filling in for advocate Adi Karu from the Parliament Legal Services Office. She's in the Northern Cape, so I'm filling in for her.
Okay,
for
the legal work. Okay, you are welcome. No, thank you. And then?
Yes, I'm Dr. Litwe, she's in charge of the and we've been here before, and we have, you have a written speaking.
Yes, because we can set even those who have presented before, if there's any time in terms of amendment or reaffirming whatever position may be given that opportunity. And you also take notice of those, so that you just refer briefly on those who have invited that have not recorded, so that it is recorded, you then continue. Can we check our visitor?
Good morning, Honorable Chairman. My name is Abdul Fattah. I'm representing the Missing Judicial Council on behalf of our President, Walena Ihsan Hendrik, who has been placed in jail.
Thanks. And I was just about to respond to something that has been communicated to me, but I believe for that reason that I made the statement I made, that we appeal to people, whatever. We are aware of Fridays and whatever, but we appeal that whatever opportunities have been given, use it, and then we'll also then give you an opportunity in terms of, if you have any written documents in the meantime, you circulate it or make sure that you make copies by the time you motivate it, easy for us. But I was also, I think, sensitizing you around your contributions, if you believe, is going to help this country. And with those not so few ways, then we will agree that we will let us allow the maximum committee, and then we'll give the end here. Just for you to benefit, so that you believe that then in the end you then allow the law commission as well as of course the legal people, so that we then agree how we wrap up on the issues and the way forward. Is there any other thing? I think that the way forward, that is very clear. Thank you. Over to you.
Honorable Chairperson, I thank you and the House for having me given the opportunity and to the kind of respect that's been granted to all religions over here. And we at the Muslim Judicial Council have received this notice and we have gone through the documentation that was forwarded to us. At that point in time, it was looked upon as an issue of certain acts or certain bills that were found to be unconstitutional and affecting other faiths, and therefore we felt that it would be best discussed by the faiths themselves and then the intricacies of those and their motivations be forwarded. At that point in time, I was not aware, or we were not aware, of anything that would affect the Muslim society as such and the Islam as a religion. This morning I was just made aware that there may be some areas in which other faiths will also be affected. And on that, we will have to submit a written submission to the committee after this meeting. I was just this morning found out that it could affect us in a manner. And I think it was the Bible Society, which was I was told about, that it affects the way money is sourced and exemption from tax on the income of that and the exclusivity of that bill. So therefore, I would need to make a written submission on the view of the Muslim Judicial Council on the repealing of that bill or the amendment to such a bill. Thank you, Honorable Chairman.
No, thank you. That's a point to make, because it's true that it's quite unusual or it's not common practice that you find this opportunity to come and present. I just want to say, without abusing my chair here, you know, it is very tempting. It's natural that people should lobby. But I think members sensitize us around one thing like this, that let us not lose focus. Mr. Geva is a sponsor. We appeal to whoever to respond directly to his proposals, not other people's opinions. You can have an opinion aside, and I'm sure I'm not sounding rude, because the temptation is, I'm not saying the basis, you can respond on your own to someone, but we are pleased if in terms of what has been put by the sponsor, Mr. Gema, who directed it to the speaker, to say, be considerate. I'm saying, let there be, I'm just appealing that in your present, whatever submission, we will be happy, line by line, to get your response. Any other motivation, we are free to make it. But don't mix the two, so that you are then able to draw the line. The other one, of course, it is important that this exercise has taught us a lot in terms of understanding the South African environment, more so within the faith environment. So I'm just saying that, and I'm sure it's shared by all of us, because it is, people end up responding, or that we would like to preempt what other people are going to say. But thank you. Over to M. Okay.
Sure, you're going to allow me a clarity question just to the presenter.
Yes,
sure. Just want to be clear, I mean, what you're saying is very right. But, I mean, we talk about the repeal of the Bible Society Act and the implications. I might understand that the specific financial exemptions and grants, or rights granted to the Bible Society, that will come into the issue if those acts get repealed, put you under the, well, to take your attention now that there is that, and you talk about amendments, you talk about the possibility of including the distribution of your scripture into the same type of thing. I just want to know, because that's the way I read between the lines what this may be about. And of course, I'm quite sure they would be offered the opportunity to present a written submission to us. But I just want to get clarity if I'm reading between the lines correctly.
Yes, it's fine. Although, yes, I know, as a lawyer, you I was avoiding exactly the reading between the lines and on the lines. But I think, as a lawyer, I say, do the same as I was saying, that you have to draw a line. On the line, what's your response? Between the lines. I was just a diplomatic advocate, because I was reading the same as I made the statement, that I don't want to preempt what the Bible Society was raising as their concern. Because the issue of funds and whatever will be explained maybe better than, which is something outside what Mr. Gabriel said. Those are they take implicit, yes, things and not explicit. But without explicit things, I also have an interest. Yes, it can be called.
Honorable Chairperson, I thank you profusely for the diplomacy you have shown, and the point of clarity would be that we, as the Muslim Judicial Council, have recognized that many of these bills do not affect us directly. And when something has come that could affect us, in particular the department that does our religious studies and runs many programs concerning our holy text, which is very dear to us. So when an issue like that arises that could affect us, or could benefit us, then we would necessarily have to make a study of that and find which would be the stance we should take that would be most beneficial to us as well as constitutional in South Africa and beneficial to others. So therefore, I do not want to take in the kind of input that the Muslim Judicial Council would make, but it does necessitate that we further look at it and then make our recommendations to the Honorable Committee. And I hope that we find.
Thank you. And then that should, of course, not be later than next 6 days. Yes.
Thank you, Honorable Chairman.
Just for people, we said, please bear with us. We don't have time. I was saying also to including the Bible Society, that people must bear with us. We urge you, we cannot stop the process. You know, Parliament, if it's going to take decisions, it takes them, which will affect people, whether they are prepared or not. But we say, let's just change our program to get ready. But we thank you for having presented your view. Thank you. Over to MCF.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. Can I just refer to the document that you have in front of you? I hope you do have one there. We haven't had the opportunity previously to read through it with the committee, so if you can afford me that possibility now. It won't take that long, maybe 12 minutes, 3/4 minutes, but I think it's important to take it as a whole. Now, it starts by saying, in this presentation, the Dutch Reformed Church in Frikerk would like to express its support for the repealing of the Dutch Reformed Church's Union Act of 1911 by supporting this repeal of the Dutch Reformed Church Union Appeal Bill on the following grounds. This act should be seen within the historical context, which is the year after the founding of the Union of South Africa on May 31st of 1910. With this, the unification of the four British colonies in South Africa became a constitutional unit under the British flag. At that stage, the federated Dutch Reformed Churches were divided according to the provincial borders of South Africa, which was the Cape, Transvaal, Free State, and Natal. This act specifically empowered the four churches to unite as one church, the General Synod as the Synodus Contracta, while retaining the four provincial synods. This act at that stage also protected the rights of colored members of the Cape Synod to remain members of the United Church. Should they, however, move to another province, they had to become members of the Dutch Reformed Mission Church, and as such forfeit their membership of the DRC. Should they return to the Cape, it would be possible for them to take up their membership in the DRC again. Because of the fact that the required 75% majority vote for unification from all congregations could not be attained the next year in 1912, the unification was never realized in terms of this Act of 1911. Only in 1962 did these churches unite as one church. This was made possible by the acceptance of the Private Act on the Dutch Reformed Church in South Africa, Act No. 22 of 61. This Act repeals all previous legislation, such as Ordinance No. 7 of 43, Ordinance 16 of 45, 2 of 51, and the Dutch Reformed Ordinance Amendment Act No. 9 of 1898 of the Cape of Good Hope. Thus, in October 62, the General Synod of the Dutch Reformed Church was founded in Cape Town, when the Cape Synod, the Transvaal Synod, the Free State Synod, the Natal, as well as the Synod of the Church of Central Africa and Southwest Africa, reunited as one church. On the grounds of this, on the grounds of this historical explanation alone, the existence of Act No. 23 of 1911 is irrelevant and should therefore be repealed. Since the acceptance of the new constitution of South Africa in 1996, the relationship between church and state are determined particularly in terms of Sections 15, 18, and 31. freedom of religion, free association, is guaranteed by these sections. In addition, Section 31 on cultural, religious, and linguistic community states, persons belonging to a cultural, religious, or linguistic community may not be denied the right with other members of that community to enjoy their culture, practice their religion, and use their language, and to form, join, and maintain cultural, religious, and linguistic associations and other organs of civil society. The organizational functioning of the Dutch Reformed Church is thus determined by the Church's own constitution, which is called the Kerkorde van de Enige Kerk van Zuid-Afrika. It is this constitution of the Church which would be considered in case of dispute, in as much as it do not contradict the values of the constitution, but also because its members voluntarily subject themselves to the confession of the Church. The vested right of the Church, such as the Dutch Reformed Church, is thus protected sufficiently enough within the expressed rights and values of and in the Constitution. This, in effect, renders both Acts 23 of 1911 as well as 22 of 91 redundant. Although the Dutch Reformed Church thus supports the repealing of Acts of 1911, we would like to explicitly express our gratitude towards the Honourable Member of the Parliament responsible for this private bill by this exposing himself to criticism by taking the Church to task. We, however, consider the objectives of the proposed legislation formulated in B, the objectives of the proposed legislation, inappropriate. This document clearly states that the intention of the repealing of this Act is to remove any obstacles in the process of the now unification process within the churches are mentioned there. Please note that the names of the churches in this document are not only incorrect but also incomplete, and then we state the names, say the proper names of the four churches. Our objection to the specific motivations in the document, not the repealing of the Act, is on the following grounds. The Act of 1911 has got nothing to do with the current process of unification of the DRC Church with the other churches in the DRC family. It was concerned with the four separate Dutch Reformed Churches of the four provinces of the Union of South Africa in 1910, 11, 12. The Dutch Reformed Church herewith does not deny that Act No. 23 of 1911, Article 9, do indeed discriminate against colored members of the Cape Synod. However, today the Dutch Reformed Church in all its various structures has explicit open membership policy, theoretically as well as in practice. The further argument that unification of these three churches is long overdue and all efforts must be made to assist in this process is thus irrelevant and to the repealing of this Act. The motivation, lastly, for the repealing of the Act of 1911 should not be grounded in the present unification process, but in the irrelevance of the Act itself, as described above, particularly in the light of the fact that the objective of this Act was in any case reached with the founding of the General Synod of the Dutch Reformed Church in 1962. The fact of this historical event alone rules this Act as redundant. Conclusion. In light of the above mentioned, the Dutch Reformed Church pledged its support for the repeal of both Acts of 1911 and 61, with the provision that the repeal shall not affect the previous operation of any law or repeals or anything duly or suffered under the law so repealed or affected in any right, privilege, obligation, and liability acquired, occurred or incurred under law, any law so repealed, or effect any investigation, legal proceeding, or remedy in respect of any such right, privilege, obligation, or liability. Thank you for the privilege to serve this matter in a positive way. The Dutch Reformed Church trusts that our presentation will help the National Parliament to make a positive decision by repealing Act No. 23 of 11, and, if found it appropriate, also 22 of 61. Thank you.
Thank you. No, I am a field president of this case. I'm taking on who the general secretary is and the response, and now I'm saying whether in any traditional culture. The elder is not self offended, I'm not sure of his age, but that response was exercising his right, but I just a comment that I'm making. I wasn't aware until now. Yeah. No, I think thank you. We should thank you. Maybe I want to appeal to the committee. So that doesn't advocate that put our heads together. I'm sure we have received comments from the churches that have appeared before us. And it wouldn't be fair even with us to respond without applying our minds to the teaching. And I'm inviting the wisdom of we legal people as well as what I'm trying to say, can members allow the committee to respond just to this? Advocate, you have an advantage of being a lawyer, but I think also legal people in them. I'm very aware of how you have structured what you're saying. And as a layman, as an ordinary person, I can do something, but something was not as a figure that you have consistently made your point in terms of the motivation. But I'm saying it would be fair enough for us to find time as a committee to discuss, you know, input by input. Critique it, get to share the same understanding so that we should thank you really for even your very first one has helped us a lot in terms of unearthing the hidden things, because we only focus on the Bible and on not the rules that have can you just allow your advocates that before you? Can you allow you and then Mr. Baker?
Sure, I don't know. I actually kind of impression you want the law to fight. But let me just make two remarks in terms of procedure. I'm not going to go into this.
No, I was proposing, I wasn't imposing it. I just wanted to hear that route will help us.
I just want to make a few remarks in terms of procedure, and then you can probably respond to that if I want to. First of all, just the fact that the Act of 61 is not before this committee. We can't even put it in at this stage. It has to be a whole new process for some private member if he should so wish us to start with that. Just for any purpose. And then just say, the amendment of the objectives, that's something for the proposer to consider. We so wish it to have that opportunity while we visit the thing to do that as an amendment. So I would suggest that you go and take a proper look at the names of the churches and those type of things. And if you so wish, I mean, there's an obligation to do so. And we'll take, when you're considering the whole thing, we'll take into consideration the layout of each of the objectives and see if it fits in your thing. And I'm just making that remark. And that's all I wanted to say.
No, I think we are very clear. That's why I said now, we should now begin to go towards the end. That is, how best do we, and that's why legal people have to help us. How best do we assist if the proposal has not been, according to law, constructed? We always have yourself to reach it. On the other side, how we respond directly to this proposal. And I think this is what the NCA cares without elevating them above others. Are trying to do specific. And then, of course, other comments are also empowering. That's why I said on the line and between the lines, so that we are then able to draw the line towards the finality. With Honorable Professor.
Mr. Chair, between what you have said and what Ms. Scott has said, I've been covered in terms of what I would have said. I would perhaps at the later stage come in on the Bible Society aspect, because I think that is not directly relevant now to the Indian Church aspect. But just perhaps in a lighter note, we are at hidden in terms of 99% of everything that is in front of us here. And if I can refer to golf as a golfer, golf player, you know, there is not a remark column on a scorecard at that stage. So I think what we are perhaps looking at, and you know, looking at the sponsor of revising a few of these things, that aspect is not going to be relevant at the end in terms of the repeal of the actual act, and that we just bear that in mind as well.
Thank you. Thank you for your advocate.
Well, very quick. I think we're just getting to a point that we need to have some separation now as we move forward. Last week already it turned out that the whole thing is getting a bit muddied by considering all these in a group. And then once again, I just think that when the law advisors, the law commission now make some remark, just that we should, we as a committee, start the fin shaking now. We've got the Dutch reform proposal, and it's quite possible that we can finalize that. And then we're sitting with the others where there's still some things that need done. So maybe they need to just also the fin shake between the various.
Yeah, no, I think advocate is listening to what I'm saying. I said earlier, this like the last meeting when we have, as I said, and then otherwise, this should be seen as the last meeting where we've allowed people to the committee has got to be ready to come up with a decision. A decision that is usually taken in the absence, where then the sponsor will not have any influence on us. I think that's why I was underlining that. Hence, we have then by then invited the wisdom of the legal people, also the commission in terms of what the Department of Justice has been doing and what they have been doing around the year. So I think we all agree. Yeah. Over to you.
Thank you, Chair. I think that the committee is in a fortunate position. The churches seem to be in a position where they say they have no problem with the repeal of their act. It's only in the question of the case of the Methodist Church, where it became apparent already last week that there are enormous implications around conveyancing. So they definitely said they have no problem against repeal. It's a question that they need to sort out, for example, the property. Apostolic Faith Mission might be in the same position. I propose that I could make available, I think it could be more also on the legal question of the legal status of religious bodies. There's a very good discussion on the whole historical perspective of why it happened, why was it said, why were a church's property rights not why were churches not regarded initially, also in this country, as legal personalities? And that came because of historical, because of the English law. So I think from a historical perspective, it might be useful if I make available the document to the legal advisors of the committee. I don't think it's necessary for us to take up the committee's time on that. And I think then, on the other hand, the Bible Society, I think it will be a crucial question to the committee. What happened? How does they, how can they change if they are not accommodated in that, this act anymore? How can they still retain the tax exemption? But I'm sure this is something that they can elaborate on. They need to cover themselves in that respect. I think in a nutshell, that's from the Law Commission's perspective.
Yeah.
Okay,
yes, I got a
comment there. I'm also very interested in the second aspect which is being mentioned here about the Bible Society, and particularly the comment about the tax exemption. And I would either that our committee or our legal advisors go on to Act 15 of 1970 and have perhaps a question directly to the to SOPS in terms of this particular aspect. Because I don't want to give my opinion, but I personally do not see the relevance of Advisor Bible Society. I think that there are other ways and means how the tax exemption could be done, and I think with the greatest of respect, I consider this to be filibustering.
So, thank you.
And
for
we
have
the official response from staff.
I just want to say something to the law committee to help us. I think the reason we have invited you here, not only for the benefit of those who are present here, despite your willingness to share whatever documents with the leader, can we together with the legal advisor to ask you to circulate something, say within 2 days, in writing, that will be communicated to us, so that even the sponsors, the other, are aware who can engage. I mean, I know academic people to be sharing information so that they'll be able to engage without stalling the process. That will also help us in terms of reporting or in terms of the process. And any other thing that not intended, of course, to and I must say, the advice that has been forthcoming from the two members has helped us a lot. It is true. We are at 99.9% now. It is common practice that certain things that now, as you say, we expect it to help us, that might face leading to compounding the issue, should not overshadow what we are doing. So I would believe you will not have a objection to that. As well as your openness in terms of also the processes you see, without preempting, of course, our argument, whether for or against, because we are yet not as a state. And the committee we go to on our own then discuss whether we agree or not. I'll come to you. Can we just tell us? I'll come to you.
Clarification, the recent document, is it on the tax implications for the Bible Society?
No, they will respond, because what I was just saying, because the Bible Society, On all presentations, without losing focus on our mandate, what is expected of us. That is to give, like you would say, for instance, in terms of your understanding of the Constitution and the mandate that the committee has, there has been this sponsor. And then in terms of the law, as you usually do, there has been this process of improvement. Your comments in terms of input, your summary has given that out of what has been presented, this your reading of what they are saying, what seems to be a concern, but you are not saying you throw it out. You give an advice as to exactly as is the case with the relevant section. If you are wrong, and the better is saying, honorable member, is saying things that they've got to do with us, they're not commission because they are mandated by the government. Let them do that even with yourself, to try and find out those who are dealing with this problem without, you know, filling the process. I think, can I just hear from you so that at the time I'm here, and for any comment on what we have.
Am I understanding correctly, what the committee would like to see from us is that we analyze and document all the concerns that have been raised so far from the various stakeholders on the way forward as they see it. For example, concerns about the objectives, the motivations for these reviews, that we deal with each of them, and then in the area, and then also, for example, the tax issue. Not at this stage, but then sent out in the document to assist the committee in its work.
No, I think this is your legal opinion. You are here for an opinion, but at the same time, you remember, we said you are invited to assist us as you as under the mandate of the Department of Justice. I think that's a brief. I understand, but you say having a participation. What is your reading? But what is your advice in terms of the various questions? With your analysis, your real basis, without responding directly to the question, this is what they are saying, and they have just now content for themselves. And then, if what remark, according to you as a legal person, is misplaced or is not relevant and it was put forward, you are free to say that. I don't think it's an impact. You are legal people, I mean, that's what I'm saying. I can just tell you without discussing or contesting as we will be on a Sunday. You see, I'm a Methodist, but once I see a document that says laws and discipline, to me, I even check one name, I'm going by that and read it. You see? But I've learned one thing. Legal people who advise institutions remain legal people, I think. They will put things in there like doctors they would. We need then a legal person to assist in terms of how to interpret it. I think that's why we are saying, help us. But at the end of the day, the backstop is us. We will be finally taking decisions on how we believe. We've got a political mandate, which, above all, is going to finalize in terms of director.
Thank you. Just perhaps on the point of information, that subsequent to our last meeting here, we were actually asked by the chair, Madam Mentor, to liaise with the Law Reform Commission in their presence. On some of these matters, and this is the result of that, and we were in contact again. So actually, it was very interesting for us to hear from the Law Reform Commission and of the committee in the end how they perceived this, how they evaluated it, and that I just thought I should bring this under your attention, that there has been another process in the meantime that took place in the presence of the designated people.
No, thank you, because exactly, we believe that even beyond this relationship we have secured should have long existed, and right? Access to government institutions in terms of consultation. Mr. Berger, please.
Chair, on the slide that's spoken, the basic, now I'm perhaps very much like you yourself in terms of that we want to get to the real cause of it. Just to summarize in terms of what, when the question was put on what is the wider aspect to be done, I can only see two aspects that came up as far as I'm concerned. The one was the property rights and the conveyancing aspect. That was one serious concern that was put forward. The other aspect was the tax aspect, the income tax, or the, I don't know whether there are other tax implications which have been forward. Now, I don't know the wide spectrum of the law society. That's why I said that I think probably it could better be pursued by the legal advisor on that particular aspect, because I don't. But the law society can speak on behalf of themselves. But I think that those are the two aspects that we would like to have as clarification.
And also, they are free to can link up with whoever in terms of putting clarity. I'm just saying, people, including the MTL, to understand that process, not we are not legalizing a lobby team, but to say the relationship in terms of learned strength, to be able to confirm your understanding, then the after. You say, after they have communicated to us, you will have communicated to us. We then said, we have given you enough time, now excuse us on our own, we will then be taking decisions. We'll be taking decisions against or for whatever, even Mr. Gemma at that time, he might be left to be excused, so that when we take decisions now, we say, please, honorable member, of good afternoon. I'm saying that's the reality, and we are that thing. So we then say, by Monday, God willing, you make sure that we, I'm sure the local meeting will be ready to communicate, and then I will follow up by Tuesday that you must have also circulated to the subject that I your comments will be based on those who are affected. You send to those, because it makes no relevance, you send to a person who is not yet one of the responded to. That does not concern. Is there any other thing before I close this meeting on this issue? Honourable member?
You know, I don't want to go into what I'm saying today. Just two things, because maybe just the one thing that is fixing. One act, which is not for us, is a repeal act. So it's an act that's already repealed, so I don't think we can have a repeal of the repeal act for all the way. But just to say that the doctor have, or the JJ have here is not related to me. I've never met him anymore. But there is a Dominic have, who is a very, very nice old man, soft-spoken. Unfortunately, he's a member of Parliament in the legislature for the Freedom Front. Now, he's also not a lady. So I've also had that
No, you know why I'm making this. You see, the thing is, I know there are cultures that are inherited and carried forward. You know, I'm cultured. When I speak to my elder, when I disagree, I tend to be diplomatic, and when I say, the way how I'm going to think. But in a formal meeting, you see, that's why I was saying this. In a formal meeting, I was a sales manager somewhere. Then I was expected to sell something to my mother when she was here. And in terms of I had to ask her, who your husband is? Who your children are? You see, I didn't want to assume, because she had a way how she called me. So then I would end up writing, so I'm saying there are professional ways. And it's not that I was being silly, but it is important to communicate that. Certain things, I'm careful when I speak to church elders, because at the end of the day, you don't get the prejudice, are you sure? But some things, remember when we said that thing, you said, that's on the closing, you said, this thing, if we don't manage it or communicate it well, there are people who can cause havoc out of what you are doing here, and it can be prejudiced. And I can tell you, but I remember sitting next to me in Parliament. I'm saying you always see him next to me. It's me, big man. You know, that's something that I want to say. We are also in the same class doing master's at university. You know, when we submitted our questions, Mr. Becker, you remember? It's now that I picked up, because I didn't realize why. New question. It was not from this issue, but it had to do with the state, you know. But I read that in the process of his own research, you then happen as a member of parliament to pick something up along the way, you see. Whereas I deal with infrastructure development, the economy. But I'm just saying, we have these things that see along the way that might affect the situation. And I don't say psychologically, even that technique of the general can affect it if it is a member of the MCA. That's your I'm just reiterating that you share with us our sensitivity in terms of sensitivity. And let me close the discussion.
Just say this, Mum, you're an exceptional material all respect for yourself. You must have been an exceptional striker in your union office.
I will give you.
You will be so peaceful and diplomatic and affectionate.
You know what? I'll give you my profile. For 9 years, I was in, for 14 years, I was the chairman of the national negotiations. And for 9 years, I didn't have the strike, but I didn't have the dispute. But you can check 1987 and 1991, 11 strikes. And many others. The thing is, you learn in the process. And very simply, one is that you must have a relationship with the person you engage with, whether you agree or you disagree. The second one, accept in terms of interest and substance that they are based on interest. The other one is about the rules of the game. If you engage, you negotiate, it's a question of skill. So you make sure that. But at the end of the day, I'm talking to a lawyer now. That's what they call partner, the best alternative to a negotiated agreement. That will have to meet both two. That is 50-50. So those principles even in life, they guide me. That's why you can say whatever you say. At the end of the day, you have to be very clear and very honest with one another. That you have said all what you have to say exactly as Mr. Vega was summarizing, but where are we now? These were your comments. Yes, it was your right, but this is where we are.
Thank you.
Can we then thank you for your nothing?
If you the opportunity, I think we are extremely fortunate in the case of the Centre Church. For Parliament in 1961 already identified the reason why the 1911 Act can be repealed. That it's strange to me why it wasn't followed up. But if you go to the Hansard of the 3rd of March 1961, there's one little line that's a free translation because my Afrikaans version is much better than the English. Maybe I should read both for the benefit of the committee. En hier gezien elf kort na Unie is die wetje van aangeneem om die ouwe ordinaties te herroep, maar dit is nooit gepromogeer nie, omdat dit voorwaardelijke wetgeving was. Dit is afhankelijk gesteld daarvan dat hereniging een succes moet wees. Hereniging is toen nie geslaagd nie en die wet van 1911 is dit verval. Die kerk is ook recht op in die ingewind en al toe die rechtmenings wat in die kerk gebeurt is ter aard en geen opzicht verander word indien die ordinaties herroep word. Hierdie wetgeving is verwijs na gekozen komitee waarom al die kansen in de raad tegenwoordig was en sommige wijze moet het goed gekeerd. And now to get to the English, it says, the wish of the church to amalgamate is not something new. In 1911, shortly after union, legislation was passed here to refuse, and now it gets a bit fuzzy, but I have to translate, but I will check on it. The old ordinances have never been promulgated because it was conditional legislation that's now in 1911. It was made dependent on the success of that amalgamation. They did not then, however, succeed in the effort to amalgamate, and the 1911 Act therefore lacked. The Church also took legal opinion, and both opinions were to the effect that if these ordinances were repealed, there would be no change at all in the essence or nature of the Church. So, this means, as I said, maybe it was picked up at a very late stage, only at the second reading debate. But already at that stage they indicated that there is no, that the 1911 Act never kicked in, never commenced. So I think the committee can be reassured that that Act can be repealed. But it's still on the statute book. So it needs to be repealed.
No, thank you. And I think we'll have those copies. Good people, this is one good, very interesting committee, I must say. And then we present you. Not really, we are in power. And you can see the team when it is full out. That members, even those are not here, they regret missing the process. Because we deal with diverse issues, but at the same time, we mature in the process, you know, in understanding this. And we are happy that also we are able to benefit from your wisdom as well as to, of course, get to understand
even the committee, very few people reach the document to say about the work you do, the same as the other. Over to you, Gemma.
Chair, I just want to caution the legal people from the law commission that they should communicate. If a person who was here and who is not going to be present in the meeting, they must communicate, because when they come to the meeting, they understand where are we. Because I understand the gentleman here was not pressed about the development of the committee. We are just here to represent the setting of the committee. So that we don't delay the process, you know. So when one is absent, we should not say that, no, I'm standing for another person, and that person is not present. So that we process, we are really under pressure now, especially from Parliament also. Thank you.
No, thank you. Point taken, let's just close on that one. It's not a question of politics. Your office or the office, whoever was not here, should please the other one so that we are the people who should help us to take those. Hence, I mean, the MCA, I'll cross the floor. They are, no, I'm not saying against the Methodists. They are kind of Methodists. You can take progress in terms of their duty. If we expect this from others. For people, thank you for everything. No. For members who left us for a minute to remain just to say how we have our skills.
Just one remark, Mr. Chair. I just want to point out that Mr. Mdume and myself were the last expired. So we were fully aware of what happened. And also we had the benefit of the CNG minutes that we think are very well kept and informed us very well for that prior to that.
I thought I was the only one who
Also for us to just to apologize because Adikari, she really had to go to the Northern Cape, but I will assist her and with the notes that I got from the committee today to prepare the legal opinion for the committee, to make sure that it's available for the committee.
Well,
yeah,
just record that member for the minute, in-house thing. Thank you. So people, the meeting, can we agree that Zodwa now, this afternoon, you'll make all the necessary arrangements for the Tuesday lunchtime meeting so that the venue was actually concerned within this venue, or a facility for the whole day, okay, so that we don't change venues. But the other one is the question of the synopsis. I like this, that the summary of the progress report. And then that's it. And then the last one, of course, members, I spoke to the chairperson just to say in the light of what you are going to also wrap up, those who are going to Brazil, just stay tuned. Let us just hopefully, like this year, wait for the last day. Thank you for everything.